morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. It's always beautiful out there, but today is particularly beautiful. We're beginning to get in fall and here in Sedona. Today, Mike Costantino's on vacation. We have Bill Timmerman sitting in with us, and we're going to talk about jobs, jobs, jobs. But we're going to talk about what's happening now. We're also going to look at the background of how we got into this situation, what's been happening that was revealed by the Great Recession that a lot of people didn't realize. First, the president has asked to be introduced the American Jobs Act. It's a $447 billion act, and it's aimed at getting Americans working again. It's got a broad support. I mean, if you can get economists from Goldman Sachs, from Moody's Investor Services, and Paul Krugman together thinking it's a good idea, that's a broad, broad spectrum of people who think it is. It has innovative ideas. I'm a big fan of job sharing. We're not going to talk about that today, but the program includes some really innovative ideas. Whether you can innovate with all this hostility, I don't know. Generally, to try to create something new, you need a more positive environment. So the situation is basically this. Job growth is at a standstill. Unemployment is high. Wages are falling. And our economy is stagnant. So, Bill, how did we get into the situation? What's the background of it? As we get past the Great Recession, what has been going on that people didn't really notice?
Well, you know, the truth is, if you want to know how this all happened, you have to go back about 60 years to the end of World War II. Our image of American prosperity comes from that period from, say, 1950 to 1970. And the prosperity came from the fact that during the 4 years of the war, people were making good wages building war material, ships and tanks and guns. And but there was nothing to buy. We weren't producing consumer goods, and those goods that we were producing were all rationed. So people had a huge amount of savings built up at the end of the war, and they needed a whole bunch of stuff that had worn out during that period, refrigerators, cars, houses, even stuff like clothing. So there was a huge boom. Everybody was working and everybody was buying stuff, and prosperity was tremendous. I mean, we had some minor recessions during that period, but by and large, American productivity and the production of American consumer goods and incomes all went up. What happened beginning about 1970 was two things. One was what I call, we're not making things anymore, and the other is what I call the Wall Street casino. Now, what happened was that industry in places like Japan and Germany had become, over the years, with a lot of our help, had become competitive. And they were able to introduce consumer goods into the country that were fairly low priced. And our industry was faced with a situation where they had to try and reduce their wage costs. And the other thing that happened, of course, was technological development.
The first things that came in with Japan were almost like toys and stuff. And next thing we know, we got electronics and cars. Same thing happened with China. The first Chinese product were little widgets or plastic dealies, and now we're getting computers made in China.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the key to this is Volkswagen and Toyota. So what happened was American manufacturing suddenly wasn't as profitable at the wage scales that we were used to. And so they started to run away from high-wage areas. They moved from Michigan to Tennessee to Mexico to Brazil to China, where, in terms of wages, they could produce products at a much lower cost, which made them cheaper in the United States. But at the same time, the wages were being paid in Mexico and China. They were not being paid to American workers. So over time, what you have is a hollowing out of demand. In order to maintain a middle-class living, people had to, you know, both the husband and wife had to go to work, and then after that, they had to start borrowing. So a lot of the middle-class lifestyle up into the 90s was based on credit, not based on actual wages, because manufacturing wages were dropping. And when they did drop, of course, this had an effect on the service industry that supplied products to people who used to buy them with manufacturing wages. And
I think what people have to realize, I think what you're saying, Bill, is that everything is connected to everything else. If a battery plant closes in Flint, Michigan, that affects the dry cleaners. It affects the teachers. It affects everybody.
Yeah,
it's all linked, right?
Yeah, the mom and pop store that's been in the same family for three generations suddenly doesn't have anybody coming in for lunch because the workers that used to come in are not there anymore. So the effects of this hollowing out of manufacturing are perpetuated throughout the economy.
So where has job growth come? If it's not come from manufacturing, for manufacturing has been shipped overseas, and I hear Vietnam is now cheaper than China. The new big Intel plant is in Vietnam. It's not in Mesa.
Well, that's where the Wall Street casino comes in. The rise of the service industry was supposed to replace these industrial jobs, but the problem is that the high wage jobs in the service industry are a much smaller number, and they're all at the top. It's the difference between working for $25 an hour for full benefits at an auto plant and working for Walmart. Those are the extremes. But what happened was you had a huge increase in lawyers and financial advisors and Wall Street traders and so forth. And what happened was that people that had a lot of money understood that they didn't have to take the risks of building factories and hiring thousands of people to make a profit. They could simply trade paper around on Wall Street.
You have a statistic we talked about earlier, which is that for most of our history, up until 1985, the financial sector was 16% of our corporate profits. Now it's risen to 41%. What does that mean for the average American?
Well, what that means is they're still making the kinds of profits that they used to make in industrial manufacturing, but those profits are going to a smaller number of people. I mean, we had thousands of people working on an assembly line in GM plant. You now have many fewer people trading stocks and setting up initial public offerings and packaging mortgages and selling them to foreign banks. There's a lot fewer people doing that, and even though they make great profits, those profits stay in a relatively small sector of the economy.
So it takes a lot of less people to run a hedge fund than it does to manufacture steel, right?
Yeah, and about the only manufacturing we have left is the defense industry. And, of course, they don't sell their products to the people who make them.
Except in Arizona.
Well, except in Arizona, yeah. But so what you have here is that a larger and larger sector of the economy is profit-making, but that money is not spreading into the real economy. The fact that a Wall Street trader makes $5 million on a trade doesn't really help a guy who operates a contracting firm in Phoenix.
I had a friend when I lived back east. She said the hardest job she ever had was teaching high school English in Iowa. But she went into the financial industry, and she had a saying, and the saying was, the closer you are to the money stream, the easier it is to make money. So if you're out making widgets, it's tough to make widgets and organize it and ship them and everything else. But if you're right there manipulating the money supply, it's relatively easy to make money. And it's concentrated, you're saying, in a very small group of people who are doing extremely well. Thank you.
So what happens is when manufacturing jobs disappear, the consumer economy also shrinks, and it has to be propped up by debt. You can buy your car with your home equity loan. Well, that's fine as long as your house prices are, keep going up. But what happens when they don't?
See, what has to happen, folks, is people have to be able to buy things. If you can't buy things, then the economy shrinks, right, Bill?
Yeah. You have fewer customers for the services sector, for the jobs that we do for small businesses in local areas. And you have downward pressure on wages, too. Walmart has done horrible things to the average wage of the American worker. Even though the stuff is cheaper, if you don't have any money, Walmart has been affected by this.
So let's be fair. The trade-off of exporting manufacturing is cheaper goods because the people in China are making much less in wages. Eventually, maybe they'll move up. I hear they're selling lots of cars there now.
So you can get into a downward spiral here. I mean, the wages get down, and then people stop buying stuff, and then people get laid off. You get lower tax revenues in the states, and you start laying off public sector employees. You cut teachers. You cut firemen, you cut all sorts of jobs. And the cumulative effect of this decreased demand and the clouded future for profits results in a downward spiral. And people stop investing. And for example, Apple Corporation is sitting on $70 billion in cash. That's more than the cash reserves of the U.S. government.
And why are they doing that? Why are all the corporations, first they're making record profits, we know that. But why are they sitting on all this money? Why are they just sitting on cash and they're not doing anything with it?
Because they don't think that there are enough people around to buy stuff that they produce for a new market. A way out of this is to create jobs for people. If the private sector is too scared to do it, the government's got to, even if it has to borrow the money or tax away the money corporations won't put to work in their own country. The investments in a real economy will pay off in higher tax revenues in the future, and then the debt can be paid down.
So what happens? We get in a spiral of people having lower wages. They can't buy as much stuff, and that deflates the economy, right? And also it deflates the public sector because then they don't pay any taxes because they don't have any money.
Absolutely. You can get really stuck here, especially when you have a shock like happened to us in 2007.
So people were borrowing. They were compensating for the stagnant wages, right, by borrowing against their houses. You could buy a car with your house as a second loan and stuff. What else, Bill? What else should we talk about today? We're trying to get at, folks, the background of the crisis. What was going on hidden before the Great Recession hit us and exposed the sort of bones of this thing?
Yeah, well, what we need to do is we need to look at our tax structures and we need to look at public investment. And that's something, though, that we'll have to do on another show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated, all of us are learning much more economics than we ever wanted to learn. Spend a lot of hours reading it. Next week, we've got Alan Grayson coming on. Alan Grayson's the liberal firebrand from Florida. He's famous for saying the Republican healthcare plan is die, something like this.
Yeah, and then the Republicans came out last week and confirmed it.
Yeah, it's a die. All right. And the week after, we're going to have Ann Kirkpatrick. Ann Kirkpatrick's coming into the studio. I'm really looking forward to talking to Ann again. We have a couple of announcements of Democrats here in the Verde Valley. The Democrats of the Verde Valley are having a health care forum down at the Cottonwood Recreation Center on September 29th. They have the CEO of the Verde Valley Medical Center, the Guidance Center, and a doctor from it. Seems to be a nonpartisan forum, folks. If you want to know what's happening with Medicare, medical care in the Verde Valley, that's a good place to go. The Door Picnic is Sunday, October 2nd. Politics can be fun, folks. Ice cream, free admission, parking's $5. Lots of prizes and raffles and great speakers. Andre Cherney, you've heard on our program, is going to be there. Chad Campbell is going to be there. been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.